Good morning. Welcome to the Wednesday morning devotion, encouragement, and prayer time from Impact Prayer Ministry. My name is Tom Lemler. I'm a staff member of the Deer Run Church of Christ in South Bend, Indiana, as well as the director of Impact Prayer Ministry. Today, as we continue through the devotional journal, Watch Your Mouth, Choosing Words Which Honor Christ, we come to the topic of choosing restrained words. Having restraint in the words that we use. I always find it fascinating, and in reality, I think any of the topics in a book called Watch Your Mouth is fitting. But as I had a chance just briefly to scroll through a little bit of my social media feeds, there seems to have been a problem with restraining words. And I know that many people will hear that statement. And their first thought is about the presidential debate and how they did not restrain their words. I don't know. I didn't watch it. I really have no commentary on the debate itself. It's not fair for me to have commentary on it because I didn't watch it. But the restraint that seems to be lacking really comes more from you and me. How quick we are. It is fascinating. My friends list has people with views that are, well, quite different from one another. And one group, somewhat predictably, is very consistent in how little restraint the other candidate had. Well, the other group of my friends is very consistent, predictably, in how little restraint that other candidate had. And so my presumption, again, bad thing to do sometimes, is that likely neither of them had the restraint that they should have had. But they may have. The bigger issue is, what are you and I as God's children saying, posting, sharing? Do we have restraint in the things that we're commenting on? Do we have restraint in how we represent Jesus out of our emotional anger? You see, choosing words which are restrained causes us and requires that we stop and look at what we're about to do through God's perspective. Causes us to ask ourselves, is this beneficial? Does this build up those who hear? The Bible tells us that that's what our words ought to do. The words that we choose ought to be that which is beneficial to the hearer. And one of the tough parts about social media specifically is that we don't always know who the hearer is going to be. And so we have to be even more careful. Is this going to be beneficial to anyone who happens upon it? I'm not saying they're going to like it. It's not the same thing as they're going to like what I say as to whether it's beneficial. But so much is conveyed as we speak, as we post, as we comment, as we share. That contains attitudes behind it that are very obvious. In the journal, I write and I say that many times we act as if we are compelled to speak the very first thing that comes to mind. That if a thought comes to our mind, that it has to come out. Boy, would we be in trouble if we practiced that all the time. I know I would. I hear things, I read things, I see things, and my first thought, well, it would not be beneficial to those that hear it. For that to happen, I'm required to stop, to pause, to look to God and say, God, how do I address this? And sometimes the bigger question is, do I even need to address this? I suspect that there may be a few undecided voters. But I would also guess that in our highly divided country, that everything has become politicized, that number of undecided is pretty small. And we get ourselves all worked up just because somebody wants us to be worked up. And I'm not talking about some sinister conspiracy theory type stuff. I'm talking about Satan, the devil, the enemy. The battle that we really fight is not against flesh and blood. The battle that really is ongoing is not between Democrat and Republican. It's not between black and white. It's not between Biden and Trump. It's a spiritual battle. I have a candidate of choice because of a very specific issue that I believe is so important that it kind of is at the heart of how I vote. But the problem is, when we start believing that our candidate is somehow a savior and the other one is somehow the devil, we've cut off all dialogue. I'm old enough to have seen a variety of presidents, a variety of political parties and platforms in leadership. Some I've appreciated more than others. But God's command is that regardless of who is in government leadership, and remember, He gave this command, while Christians were being persecuted. He gave this command while the Roman Empire was, well, they were not very accommodating of people with different views. But His command was that we pray for government leaders, those in authority, so that we could live peaceful and quiet lives. We have a tough time in the political realm as Christians living peaceful and quiet lives. And I think social media by its nature stirs us up because it gives us the opportunity so very easily not to use words which with restraint. It gives us the opportunity to say the first thing that comes to mind, whether it's appropriate or not. And so many times our defensive nature does not allow us to backtrack when we realize that probably wasn't appropriate. There are times that even after I thought through a response that I put it out there and it's taken in a way I didn't expect. And I go back and I pull it and I retract and I backtrack from it. Not because it wasn't true, but because there's no good way to put it in context on a social media platform. And so sometimes, at least for me, the restraint comes during, but it's refined after the fact. You see, as we pray, we talk to God, we ask God, how do my words sound to someone else? Do I come across to a person who's not yet in relationship with Jesus as just another angry Christian? Or do I come across as Jesus, sorrowful at the sin that's in our nation, in our world, while loving those who surround me, even and especially those who are caught up in the sin that grieves me so deeply? You see, as Jesus prepared to head into Jerusalem for his eventual crucifixion, the Bible talks him weeping over Jerusalem, how he had longed to gather them to himself. But they preferred to remain separate. You see, when we practice restraint in our words, we look out for the best interest of those who might hear or read or see the words that we use. And we live in such a way that our words honor Christ. Today, as we pray, I would ask that you prayerfully consider how you respond. For most of us, it's our responses that get us in the most trouble. For some, it's our deliberate words. There are some that just seem like they want to start something all the time. And they'll throw a statement out or a question out just knowing that it's going to get a rise or stir somebody up. But God says a person of knowledge practices restraint. Proverbs, he follows that up by saying, even a fool is considered wise if he remains silent. Maybe a little silence would improve our reputation of wisdom. Not you and me, not him or her or whoever. We're so quick to say, yeah, they could learn from that. Well, we could learn from that. I could learn from that. And so ask God to help you put a pause. The old adage of count to 10. Today's culture, you may need to go to like 50 or so. Maybe even more than that. But have restraint. Practice restraint in the words that you use. Would you spend some time praying with me? Father, thank you that you are a God that loves us. You have called us to yourself. Your desire is that we would represent Jesus well. Father, as I pray for those that have joined me this morning or watching this later, I ask for each one of us that we would learn from you what proper restraint looks like in our words. Father, even as we look to the leaders throughout our country, we're quick to point out the lack of restraint that they might have, all while practicing the same level of lack of restraint. So, Father, instead of pointing out the faults of others, the lack of restraint others might have, help us to examine completely and accurately the level of restraint that we use in our words. Father, rather than calling out others on it, may you help us to pause, to consider how our words would sound and hear and read to whoever happens upon them. To practice restraint so that our words would be beneficial to those that would hear them. Whether they like them or not, that they would be beneficial if they would simply truly listen and apply. Father, may the restraint that we have in our words change the attitude, the tone behind them. And when we see things that stir up our emotions, may you help us to accurately judge what's being stirred within us and who's doing the stirring. That we would not be deceived by the schemes of our enemy. That Satan would not be given free run of our social media accounts to stir up others, to create division and hatred among brothers and sisters in Christ, to represent Jesus in a way that's inaccurate. Father, today I pray, as I do every day, for the children in our homes, our communities, our churches. I pray that they would see from us examples of using restraint. That even in the privacy of our homes, that we would be careful about how we speak about others. That we would be always mindful of the ears that are listening. That our children would not grow up thinking it's okay to badmouth people we disagree with. Father, may our children even see restraint in the way that we respond to them. Oh, it's so easy in the emotional upheaval of family life to say something to a child that just comes straight out of our emotional response that can be harmful. Help us to pause. And even when correction is needed, help us to do so in a way that is beneficial. May our practice of restraint help us to grow in that. Father, as we live life today, and especially this day following a presidential debate that took place in an already divided culture, may we use restraint in everything we say, in everything we post, in everything we share, in everything we comment on. May we continually ask ourselves today and each day that we live, does this benefit those who would see it, would hear it? How does this look from God's perspective? Father, may we ask ourselves that question, that you would lead us. May your Spirit that dwells within us constantly convict us when the enemy wants to take us in a direction that is going to be harmful to someone. Father, today I pray that our words would be purposeful. Oh, not just words that are spoken because somebody has stirred us up, but words that are spoken because your Spirit has stirred within us. Father, may you be the stirring factor in our life. May we live at greater peace with you, at greater peace with ourselves, at greater peace with one another. Because we practice restraint in the words that we choose. Father, as we live in that peace that surpasses all understanding, may we consistently lift up Jesus as the reason for that peace and for the hope that lies within us, so that many would be drawn to Him. It's in His name that I pray. Amen. This has been the Wednesday morning devotion, encouragement, and prayer time from Impact Prayer Ministry. Thank you so much for joining me. I do pray that your day is greatly blessed by God, so that you can be a blessing to others. Have a great day.